Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out. As he said, my name is Rob King, and we're going to be discussing Pickaxe. Pickaxe is a novel framework that we designed at a Tipping Point for our use and are now releasing. And it's actually a fairly interesting framework with some interesting design goals. Number one, Pickaxe is a declarative framework. It encourages a very declarative and functional approach to development. For those of you who are familiar with declarative programming, it's the preferred paradigm for a lot of work inside at Tipping Point. And all of the work revolves around the evaluation of expressions on the web page. It's also very client-focused. It runs entirely on the client, including a lot of functionality that you usually only see in server-side frameworks or frameworks with a lot of server-side support. And it's also very lightweight, both in terms of server resources and in terms of bandwidth. The page view that is used to render the data present in the application is sent only once. And after that, the only thing transmitted across the wire is deltas to the model data. And the server itself only needs to support static file serving and optionally JSON serialization or deserialization. So very, very light in server resources. It's also designed to be very simple. It actually augments HTML, CSS, and other web-based technologies. It allows you to leverage your existing expertise in these technologies, even if you're not really a programmer or a developer. And it's also decoupled. Pickaxe is actually built up of several distinct and interesting technologies, and any one of them can be used independently from Pickaxe as a whole. And I'll discuss a little bit more about what the underlying technologies are and some potential use cases later on in the talk. So this is the anatomy of a Pickaxe application. As you can see, there's nothing particularly revolutionary here. This looks like your standard model view controller application. You have the server, you have a model, you have a view template, and then both of these are the client. You'll notice the bidirectional arrows between the client, the model, and the server and the model. That represents the synchronization of the model between the client and the server. After the initial serving of the template, that is the only wireline communication. All other work is performed on the client. The model in this MVC architecture is actually considered a single JSON document that is synchronized between the server, the client, the interface, and the user, and is done automatically. Pickaxe handles the synchronization and re-rendering of the page whenever anything in the model changes, be it from user input, server-side events, timed events, so on and so forth. The view is a single XHTML document with embedded expressions in Pickaxe's template language, and this view is automatically re-rendered upon changes to the model. The template language used in Pickaxe is actually its most interesting feature, and we'll be focusing on that quite a bit as we go on. The controller also exists entirely within the client and is expressed declaratively, just like everything else in Pickaxe. The views in Pickaxe are actually called Jenner expressions. Jenner is the template language and expression engine that underlies Pickaxe. What's interesting is Jenner is actually a perfect superset of XHTML. All XHTML pages are Jenner expressions, but obviously the reverse is not necessarily true. The Jenner engine runs entirely within the web browser. The source code of the web page, the raw XHTML, is considered the source code of the Jenner expression. There are no explicit calls to the Jenner rendering engine. No specific scripting is necessary other than the script tag, including the Pickaxe JavaScript. So let's look at a simple Jenner expression. As you can see, the model is a simple JSON document with mapping the value name to the value world. And then the Jenner expression, as you can see, this looks very much like a normal web page, with the exception of the name encased in a dollar sign and two brackets. If this page were loaded on your web browser, you would get Hello World, which is fairly simple, but the required first program in any language. Nothing particularly revolutionary, except that this is all being rendered entirely by the client. This looks very similar to things like Java server pages using Unified Expression Language, but entirely client-side. So let's look at a little more complicated Jenner expression, just to get an idea of what's possible with the language. This shows the data model, which is the log output from a hypothetical application. As you can see, it's a list or an array of log messages with a level and with text associated with each message. And here's the template. Once again, this is a perfectly normal web page, although there's a little bit of extra material in there. As you can see, there is an unordered list XHTML element. And then embedded within that, which what looks like a normal text node in XHTML, is what is another gener expression. This is actually a list comprehension. Gener supports full list comprehensions. And what's nice about this is, as you can see, it's stepping through each member of the log array, declaring a local variable within the expression, and then returning a list of list item elements. And as a side effect of returning these list item elements are actually inserted into the DOM under the UL element and rendered. You can also see that the class attribute of the LI element contains a gener expression. Expressions can be used inside attributes, and this is setting, in this case, the CSS class for that particular item. And then the text node of the list item is another gener expression that extracts the text from the model using the locally declared variable that we declared above. So gener is actually a fairly complete language. It supports all your standard operators, modular, arithmetic, Boolean combination, string concatenation, so on and so forth. It supports list comprehensions. It supports lexical scoping, including variable capture. And the model serves as the root environment for all sub-environments and closures. Document elements can be used as expressions and returned as results from expressions. They are first-class citizens in the language. Attribute values may also be gener expressions. It also supports functions and a very simple and easy to use foreign function interface with JavaScript. And it can be used separately from Pickax as a client-side rendering technology if you don't want to use the entire Pickax framework. And it can also use XSLT as a macro language. And I'll touch on that in just a second. But I want to talk a little bit more about functions in the foreign function interface. Functions cannot be defined in gener itself. This is actually considered a feature. For those of you who are familiar with XQuery, it's very similar to that. In fact, the list comprehension syntax is actually borrowed directly from XQuery. But the foreign function interface more than makes up for that. It allows a very, very easy interaction between JavaScript and Pickax. But now to touch on the macro language, gener, because it is a full subset of XHTML and all gener expressions are also valid XML documents, it provides a richer target language for style sheets. So you can use a style sheet, apply it at page load time, and get this very large gener expression that does some interesting things. Pickax actually includes a large selection of macros for things like white boxes, tab boxes, AJAX-style file uploads, many other features. And this is an example of the tab box macro. You could actually write this directly in your page and just apply the Pickax style sheet at page load time using a document directive. And you'll get this, which is not particularly legible, but to give you an idea of what's going on under the hood, this is the expansion of that macro. So it shows you kind of what you can do with it. And here's that actual macro rendered by the web browser. This is a perfectly valid XHTML page with gener markup, and here it is rendered. And also, just as an aside for those of you out there into retro computing, that is actually the exact color scheme from Amiga OS 3. That's the default color scheme in Pickax. So, old Amiga fan. Now, gener itself does not handle input. As I said earlier, Pickax is actually built up of lots of different technologies. Pickax itself is actually the portion of the stack that handles input. In theory, you could easily replace Pickax with another input handling library of your choice, but this is how Pickax works out of the box. This is a diagram that just sort of shows the normal input flow of a Pickax application. You've got the client, which updates the model with values from controls, and then re-renders locally. However, if a submit control is activated, if a submit control is outside of a form element, then the client simply re-renders the view with the updated values in the model. However, if the submit control is inside a form, that indicates some form of client-server communication. Now, by default, what happens is the model is serialized and then posted asynchronously using XML HTTP request to the server after an optional verification stage. The server then sends its updates to the model back to the client, and the client re-renders the view using the freshly updated model. This is important to note that this is not a normal HTML form submission. There's no HTML coming back down from the server. There's no replacement. It's solely deltas to the model. It's very bandwidth efficient. As for input controls themselves, PickAxe augments the existing form controls native to the browser. This was an intentional choice. They tend to be the fastest. They tend to look the best. They tend to be native widgets in whatever browser you're using. But it integrates these controls with PickAxe by placing expressions in various attributes of these controls. So, for example, here we have an input control that is linked to the name member of the person member of the model. By placing that expression in the value attribute, it will always cause the control to reflect the current value of that member of the model. And by placing that expression in the name attribute, it ensures that whenever the control is updated, that value is placed into the model. The difference between the two expressions, the hash sign at the beginning indicates that it is a reference expression. Jenner supports references to models and to members of the model. You can also validate input by placing an expression into the accept attribute. This expression can be used to replace or manipulate the value in the control before it is placed in the model. So, for example, here we are capitalizing the first letter of every word before it is placed into the model, the value of the input there. And this shows a function invocation as well, the title case function of the string library. We also override or overload the form element in HTML. As I was saying earlier, if the encoding type of the form is set to text/JavaScript, then that will cause the model to be serialized as JavaScript and posted asynchronously to the server. It triggers a model synchronization step. You can also set the encoding type to a more traditional value, which will result in a normal HTML form submission. And this is useful for situations where you need to integrate with an older form-based application, or you're just using Jenner as a display-side technology. And also, you can use this to integrate very easily with JavaScript functions. PickAxe exports a very simple foreign function interface. In fact, by simply passing a function object from JavaScript to the PickAxe library, you can call that function without modification from Jenner expressions. JavaScript can also interact with Jenner, either indirectly by manipulating the model, which will automatically cause things to re-render as appropriate, or by directly calling the Jenner API. And Jenner does come with a fairly large standard library of functions, both for storage and text manipulation, math, so on and so forth, and makes it very easy to add your own. And functions are namespaced globally so that you can ensure that your function will not collide with any other function. And namespaces can be reassigned at runtime, so you can if somebody chooses the same short name as you, you can avoid collisions that way. And as I was saying, PickAxe is built up of quite a few technologies. At the base of the technology tree is a library called Cupre. Cupre is a full parser combinator library written in pure JavaScript. Cupre, by the way, is named by analogy with yak and bison. Cupre is a type of ox in Cambodia. It was the first animal of that sort I could find that didn't already have a name associated with it in parser libraries. So, but this is very interesting in that you have a full parser generator that can run inside any web browser. This is very interesting in that you can have lots of domain-specific languages, application-specific languages, little languages running inside your web browser or any other compliant ECMAScript environment. And one of those languages is actually EASL. EASL stands for the ECMAScript Expression Language. And it is a query and expression language that can be used to query JSON and other hierarchical data sets. Jenner is actually a superset of EASL, adding essentially the XHTML or the XML document element attribute and so on, sub-expressions. EASL's parser, compiler, and virtual machine are written entirely in JavaScript and run entirely within the browser. This has its own interesting connotations in that you have a Turing-complete virtual machine that makes it very easy to extend and already has a language and compiler set built for it for your whatever little languages you want to deploy. And in fact, EASL is used, at least at tipping point on the server side, to do extraction from hierarchical data sets that are then sent down to the client. So we actually have EASL running on both sides of the wire. And EASL was also envisioned as a useful expression language in web applications for things like a web application or a web-based spreadsheet, something like that, a very useful little expression language that can be used in lots of places. So we use Pickaxe on a daily basis at Tipping Point, but I also wanted to tell you some of the more potential uses or recommended uses. It's very useful as a toolkit for a small application because it supports very rapid development. You can simply write a text document, save it as HTML, load it in your web browser, and you're done. It's also useful in situations where server resources are extremely limited. Usually in template languages like this, there is at least some server support, Java server pages, things like that. But this runs entirely in the client and offloads a large amount of load from the server. It's also very useful for creating web interfaces for legacy applications. A lot of legacy applications were written assuming sort of a form-based request-response style architecture, and Pickaxe implements that very well and integrates with that very well. And Kubray itself has been used in various situations, both client and server-side, to create small languages. The signature language for Tipping Point is actually compiled using a Kubray-generated parser. So, and just give you an idea, we're not done. We're still working. Kubray 2 is already done and is way faster. I'm actually amazed at how much faster it is. EASL 2, nearing completion. We're adding interesting things like in-way case statements, optional assignment, nested comments, a few other things. And Pickaxe 2 is being planned on top of these new technologies, and it's going to be a much more reactive programming feel. For those of you who have used Flapjacks or anything like that, it's very similar in feel to that sort of thing. So just to conclude, Pickaxe is available today. It's under the GPL. You're free and welcome to use it. We encourage its use. It's still got some bugs, but we use it on a daily basis in production software. Works great. So if you'd like any more information, please contact me. That's my website or my email address. I would recommend using the deadpixie.com email address, as my HP address may be changing. So with that, I'd like to open it to questions. Did I keep under time? Excellent. So, any questions? No questions? Oh, sorry. Oh, there's a microphone. Oh, sorry.
Yes. So, one question I had is, how often do you find yourself crossing the declarative and the imperative barrier, and do you find that tricky to think about when you're trying to think about the properties of mm-hmm. Pickaxe programs? Because it seems like you know, you've got this very nice interface for your stuff to call imperative JavaScript code
right.
and back and forth. But you know, what does the programmer think when he's crossing those?
So in the largest application we've written so far, we don't really break out of the declarative mode. We do call functions that are exported into Jenner from the standard library, but we ended up not having to write any custom functions on top of that. Something that I didn't really have time to go into is that you can actually declare. Have you used XForms at all?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a declarative sort of sub language that is used to model relationships between data in the model. So you can actually have a declarative set of rules that when you modify something in the model, it sort of cascades down and changes things. There is obviously more work in the imperative side on the server side in a lot of cases, but that's sort of hidden away from Pickaxe. So,
thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? No. Anybody else? Yeah. No.
Yeah. Just a quick question. So the you provide a very elegant way and low overhead way of synchronizing, of maintaining a model and synchronizing it with the displayed state to the user. Do you also have support in your framework for when the model is synchronized on the server and then to interact with other tiers of the application? Is that integrated somehow?
No, that's a little beyond the scope of what Pickaxe was designed for. It is strictly designed to synchronize the JSON document between server and client. And it was done that way because a lot of the applications that we ended up writing web interfaces for using Kubray are written in sort of a hodgepodge of various languages. So we chose JSON as a very simple sort of universal way of talking. But once they hit the server, there's myriad ways that they have to continue talking. So, unfortunately.
So I have one question for you.
Oh, sure.
As you were wrapping up, you said Pickaxe seems to be most applicable to sort of smaller applications. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like some intuition for what starts to melt first when you try to when an application outgrows this particular shoe.
So what I've noticed is that Pickaxe right now sort of ties itself to a single model and a single view. And with conditional statements and things like that, different parts of the view are visible at different times depending on the state of the application. But it's still one giant view. And so the largest application that we've written has a view or a gender expression or a web page, whatever you want to call it, that's a couple of 100K in size. So that starts to break down on the scaling. Something that we are working on in Pickaxe 2 is actually transclusion of other gender expressions and XHTML documents from separate files. So you can actually pull those in and include those in a larger gender expression. So,
any other questions?
Any other questions? Awesome. Well, thank you very much.